Now, I'm going to give a little talk now from the Bible, because at Christmas it's brilliant to remind ourselves of why we're here. So there was a bishop of Hippo called Saint Augustine. He was a 4th century theologian and philosopher, and he had the brain the size of a planet. And he said, the Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, yet deep enough for an elephant to swim in. I'm not sure if that elephant could swim in it, but tonight we have already enjoyed a splash around, and now I want to wade out a little bit and do a few lengths. So kids, get your armbands on, and if that doesn't work, do what my youngest does and climb on your dad's back. If you're a Cornerstone regular or a visitor, you may think you know the Christmas story, but I'm constantly amazed how little I know myself. But you know, you might know the details. We've all been to nativities, but do you know what it really means? When was the last time you actually sat down and read the Nativity story for yourself? It's 51 verses long, 18 from Matthew and 33 from Luke's Gospel. And it's amazing when you think about the impact these stories have had. I mean, imagine if you had to pay royalties to God for every time you used his material. The list of primary schools would be incredible, wouldn't it? So before we go any further, I just want to lay down the challenge for you. I want to say, don't let this Christmas go by without taking some time to read those 51 verses for yourselves. I did that this week in preparation for this talk, and I was struck again by the truth of Augustine's statement. We don't have a lot of time, but I would have done my job, I reckon, if you go home and sometime over the next couple of weeks, You open a Bible and turn to Matthew and Luke and read them and think about them for yourselves. But the book we read from earlier is called A Very Noisy Christmas. A Very Noisy Christmas. And it's a good title because when you read those nativity stories, when you read the Gospels, there does seem to be a lot happening. There's a lot of action on earth and in heaven. There's a big cosmic racket going on. But what's all the noise about? Well, I've got one simple point, and I'll probably have sub-points of this, but my big point is everyone in the world, everyone is called to witness the birth of the Saviour. Everyone is called to witness the birth of the Saviour. The shepherds, they get an angel. There they are. If I had sheep like that, I think I would be sleeping as well. The shepherds get a visit from an angelic being. The wise men get a star. How loud is that? I mean, I know apparently you can't hear in space, but it must be very, very noisy. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says this: an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is speaking of the shepherds. And then in verse 13 it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And notice the wise men. They get a star. Matthew chapter 2 says, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? This is when they go to see Herod. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Can you see when you think about these two scenes, they are very, very noisy. For the shepherds, there was no need to study. It wasn't because they weren't intelligent, but it was just a pure display of power and glory that the shepherds experienced from these angels. And they would have been familiar with the visitations that their people had over the many years of their history. They would have been familiar with angelic beings. They've heard the stories of the ancients. But that didn't stop them from being terrified, did it? The shepherds were quaking in their boots. And let me point out for a second, shepherding was a very, very dangerous business. These boys would have been seasoned pros at keeping wild animals away from their flocks. So it must have been an awesome sight that left them quaking in their boots for fear of their lives. And think about the wise men. The wise men, on the other hand, appears to have, they've been very studious. They've got their books out and they've seen a sign of such importance in the heavens that they are literally moved to find the newborn king and open their treasures to him and worship him. And as our resident Christmas journey wise men was saying all last week, these were the gifts. They gave him gold fit for a king. The king who was rich and yet became poor. They gave him frankincense because he was more than just a king. He was the eternal Son of God through whom the world was made. He was the big who became small. And they brought him myrrh as well because this son who was given, as we read earlier on in Isaiah, the prophet, he was the mighty God. The strong became weak as he laid down his life as a sacrifice so that, as his name foretold, he could save his people from their sins. So just think about these two groups with me for a few minutes. Consider these two groups. We have one group who are rich and are nobles and are foreign and are exotic. And it seems they're the total opposite to shepherds. And then the shepherds are locals from Judea. They worked hard at their labor. They were still probably quite poor and were not very exciting to the outside world. And yet God arranges for both these groups of people to come and witness the birth of the Savior. You see, everyone is called to witness the birth of this Savior. Everyone is called to witness the birth of this Savior. Think about this for me. The World Cup. When the World Cup comes around, all of the club football teams... I can't see the kids down here, so I'm really sorry about this. This thing's right in the way. The club football teams... They put away their petty differences. Right, Steve? Yeah? Everton? He's got an Everton Christmas jumper on, by the way. They put aside their petty differences and they come together to witness the spectacle of England getting beaten. And, you know, like you've got rich Chelsea and humble Fulham. They become like brothers, don't they? You know? But with this nativity, with this, the birth of Jesus, it's more than just a spectacle that everyone is called to witness. The good news is that it brings great joy to all people. And this good news or gospel demands a response. And that's what we see these people doing. And so the writers of these gospels, who, by the way, they're not just writing children's stories. They're investigating things that they have heard happened. They've interviewed eyewitnesses. By the way, if you're interested in knowing a little bit about that further, as a church, we're going through the Gospel of Luke at the moment, and we've just finished the Christmas story. So you can find them on the website. It would be a great accompaniment to you reading through these stories. But the gospel writers make two staggering claims. The first claim is this. It doesn't matter who you are, you need a Savior. And the second claim is, it doesn't matter who you are, a Savior has come for you. Those songs we were just singing were littered with this language, weren't they? Another way of saying this is, we need a Savior, and we can have a Savior. And when you read the Gospels, that's what you see in Jesus. You know, you see him coming to people and challenging them. That they shouldn't stay the same as they are. They should leave their life of rejection of God and follow him. And you see him accepting everyone, even the outcasts. So another way of saying this is, you are more sinful than you know, but more loved than you can imagine. If you read the Gospels, that's what you'll hear. That's what you'll see. But let's think about claim number one. It doesn't matter who you are, you need a Savior. This claim, it will grate on you if you think you're okay or if you think you can save yourself. If that is you, if this does make you uncomfortable, notice the humility of the wise men, the humble wise men. Matthew 2:11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshipped him. These were men of great learning, of great riches, of great knowledge, and they come and they worship this baby. Here are the wise ones who might have been tempted to believe that we can fix the world if we just throw enough money at it, or if we could just get some real brain boxes together. We can figure things out. But yet they're humble and they come and they acknowledge and bow before this Savior and King. So you see, it doesn't matter who you are. We all need a Savior. And the second claim, it says, it doesn't matter who you are, a Savior has come for you. I think we see that in the shepherds. And now this claim might be hard for you to hear or accept if you've ever been rejected. If you maybe you're a slave, you're a slave to rejecting yourself and thinking that no one would ever accept you. Maybe you're someone who is in the first category, who thinks they don't need saving, and you look down on people that think they do. But if that is you, notice how wise the humble shepherds are. Look at these two verses. Let's go to Bethlehem, it says in Luke 2:15. It says, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The shepherds know who just spoke to them, don't they? They don't say, what they should have said is, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the angel has told us about. But they know this is not, the angel is just a messenger. They say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And then they hurry off and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they see him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. They go and they find him. They investigate the claims that this angel has just told them. They use their reason. If you want to test some of the claims of Christianity, after Christmas, we have something called the Tales of the Unexpected, which is a four-week course. It's a four-week gathering here at the Hub, and you can come along, and I told you it was going to be noisy. You can come along and investigate some of the stories that Jesus told. You'll get a flyer on your way out, and you can pick that up. But the shepherds, they investigate the things they've been told, and it's all true. It's just as they've been told. Then they are filled with boldness and confidence that comes when you know you're safe and secure. So even though this is only the baby Messiah they've come to see, the shepherds don't care about what people will say. They're going to go and spread the news. They're going to go spread the word about him. So let me ask you, as we close, where do you line up on these two claims? Do you have the humility of the wise men and the wisdom of the shepherds? Listen. We're gonna be done in a minute. But did you kids know that tonight before you stands an angel? You know that? Do you know that, kids? I am an angel. Behold the glory. All right? Look. You know, I might not have the glory of those original angels. I might not have the shiny lights from heaven. But all an angel is a messenger. Yeah? It's just a messenger. And I want to ask you, are you going to hear the message that the Lord has spoken to you through his messenger? Are you going to go away and investigate? Are you going to go and ponder as Mary did? Will you bow and continue to bow? I'm speaking to a room, you know, there are lots of different people here. There are, you know, people that have been going to church for years and years. Don't think that you escape this. This is the job of a Christian. Yeah, this is we need to bury our faces in the Bible and continually remind ourselves of the gospel, how we're forgiven by Jesus, and that's what transforms us. And maybe you're not a Christian here tonight, and some of these words have challenged you to look into it a bit more deeply. It's not just a kid's story. It's an amazing, deep story that will give meaning and purpose to your life. It will change your life as it's changed mine. Now, boys and girls, I want to say you've done an absolutely fantastic job. I really hope you will have a very noisy and fun Christmas. I want to thank you again for coming tonight. Thank you all for coming. I'm going to pray. And then we're gonna hear a special song from our band. They're going to play a solo for us. So let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for everybody here tonight. We thank you for the children that are in this room that have been scurrying around and having fun on this straw. And Lord, we thank you for all of the adults as well that are in this room. And we pray, Lord, that you would show yourself to us. You would help us to hear something of the good news of Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to just think about this story as a cute kid story, but to actually find the meaning of life in these words, that we can know and be loved by a God who created us, who sent his Son to die for our sins. And Lord, please would you give us a rich and fulfilled Christmas, because we're digging deeper into knowing who you are. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.